T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Happy Monday. It's Hancock and Kelly. It's April the 15th. It's tax day. Do you know what else happened on this day in history?
On this day in history? I do not.
Titanic.
Oh, there you are.
Hit correct, an iceberg sir. In 1912. You know what else happened today?
That's hard to say.
The Boston Marathon.
Oh, that's right. That's because of our next guest. It wouldn't have happened without our next guest. Amy Marks-Kors is with us. She was a participant in this year's Boston Marathon. First of all, Amy, did you make it?
I made it. I crossed the finish line, and in fact, I'm in an Uber right now heading to the Barking Crab to get some seafood.
Oh, well, there you go. So how long did it take you?
It took me 3 hours and 9 minutes.
Ooh,
wow, that's awesome.
It was a very, very warm day and a hilly course, and the people couldn't have been better, so they just carry you right along. It was an incredible experience. It was unlike any race I've ever run.
Yeah, Amy, in the Boston Marathon, that's something you have to qualify for. Where did you go to qualify to be able to run?
I ran at the Indianapolis Monumental Marathon. It's a November race, and I qualified in 2017.
Now, they give so many spots away to people who finish at a certain time. Is that what happens?
They do. You have a qualifying standard you have to meet, and then the people who beat that standard or below that standard by, you know, more time get to sign up first. So they kind of let you sign up in waves. And then if you qualify by so many minutes, you sign up. And then if there's still room left, then they keep letting people sign up.
Obviously, today wasn't your first marathon. How many does this make it?
So to be honest, I think it's 18. It might be. Wow. I think it's 18. I'm not quite sure.
And did you have a targeted time that you were trying to reach?
I did not. I knew going into the race, everybody told me the first time you run Boston, you have to just enjoy it. So I definitely wanted to run hard. You always want to run hard, but I wanted to run so that I could still look around and smile and interact with the crowd. And I was able to do that. You know, the Newton Hills from 17 to 21 are no joke. It's this series of hills. And of course, 20 to 21 is Heartbreak Hill. And so you're running up the hill and we're almost at the top of Heartbreak. And this guy says the most beautiful phrase ever, which is up to the lights, downhill till Boston. And once I hit that, I just started smiling. And I don't think I stopped smiling until we crossed the finish line.
Well, you know, not everyone listening to us right now has the running experience that you and I have, Amy. And
it is named after you. It is the John Hancock Boston Marathon. It is your race.
Can you stop?
I'm well aware of that. You know, it's just one of the things I like to do for humanity. Were you sore at the end of this thing? Or how do you feel when it's over?
Yeah, you know, I could feel it in my quads because the last couple of marathons I've run have been relatively fast and flat courses. And this is really hilly. The best way to describe the Boston course is the first 13 miles have some very, very steep downhills, a lot of them. So it's like taking a baseball bat and hitting your quads with a baseball bat. And then the second half, you just climb uphill. And so it's basically someone takes a baseball bat to your quads and then says, okay, now you got to climb uphill for 13 miles. And I could feel it in my quads, but you're still on the adrenaline high. So I think I feel pretty good.
Well, you know, not everyone in our listening audience is as familiar with the muscle groups as you and I are, Amy. Where are the quads?
They're your thigh muscles. Your thigh muscles.
Wow, Amy, what a great feat. Did you get did your family go up with you to see this? This is quite a day, huh?
It is a day. You know, I have a group of running buddies that I'm really close with, specifically Flavio, Craig, and Becca. And the four of us rented an Airbnb, and we hopped on a flight to Boston and have been having a Boston celebration weekend. So
good for you. Now, I've run one marathon. I didn't finish it anywhere near 3 hours. I think I was about halfway done at 3 hours. But I do know that the night before, there's a lot of preparation that needs to be done in terms of drinking some water and getting some rest.
Yeah.
That probably didn't include watching a Blues game, or did it?
It totally included watching the Blues game, yes. And in fact, on Saturday night, we went to the Boston Bruins-Toronto Maple Leafs game at TD Garden, and then we watched the Blues game last night. So we did exactly what you're not supposed to do, which is walk all over town and, have irregular schedules. So, Boston is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and you never know when you get to go back, so...
We are visiting with successful marathon runner, Amy Marks. Of course, you know, Amy, not everyone's as familiar with what you eat on the course as you and I are. What are you munching on while you're running those 26 miles?
So there are these gel packets, and it's called Goo. It's what I take. There are a lot of different energy gel. This is GU, and specifically the Goo Roctane, and they have, I believe, 25 grams of carbs in this little gel packet and 100 calories. And every 5 miles or so, I took one of those. So I took 5 packets. So that way you get 500 calories and 125 grams of carbs. And because it was hot at every water station, I was double fisting water. So I had one cup of water that I was drinking and then another cup of water that I'd pour on my head or on the back of my neck because it was pretty darn warm.
You know, if you take that goo, and you mix it with some beef, and you cook it up there in the pan. You've got the Mugu guy pan.
This poor lady. I mean, she's in a delirious high from running, and she has to put up with your cheesy jokes.
That's Amy, actually pretty good.
Any future marathons on the books, or is this it for a while?
No, you know, I've actually already signed up for one, but it is an ultra. It's the Tunnel Hill 50-miler in November. So it's a 50-mile race just outside of Paducah, Kentucky.
Now, why are you doing that?
Man.
I'm a diesel engine, and I do better on long distances. The marathon might be too short for me to really peak as a runner, so I'm not fast, but I'm like a semi.
I can totally relate to that, Amy. Totally. Now you're going to eat some seafood. More importantly, so what are you going to be now that you've gotten all that goo into your system? What are you going to be eating for dinner this evening?
Whatever she wants.
Exactly. And we might even have like 2 or 3 dinners, to be completely honest, because we're going to eat now and then we're going to a post race dinner party after this dinner. So, you know, some fish, I guess.
Amy Marks, of course, congratulations on your huge run today.
She has completed successfully the John Hancock Boston Marathon.
Will you be back here tomorrow for the game?
Absolutely.
Yeah, nothing's going to keep Amy Marks' course away from seeing those St. Louis Blues win. Maybe that's what was wrong with us last night.
Yeah.
We didn't have Amy.
Amy will be back. I'll be at the game tomorrow. We can discuss our mutual racing careers during the intermission between periods, Amy.
You know, Mr. Hancock, it's really nice having a kindred spirit. Yeah. I know John Kelly can't really relate to this, but I'm glad I have you to talk to.
Well, it's just doing my part. Yeah. Hey, congratulations. Thanks so much for joining us. Enjoy your seafood or whatever the heck you're going to have, and lay off the goo.
I will do that. Sounds great. Thank you guys so much.
What an impressive feat to run on the marathon. I ran the Marine Corps Marathon in Washington, D.C. the year after September 11th.
Wow.
And what I run it in? 5 hours? 5 hours, 10 minutes? I mean, I was slow. My whole goal was just to finish. In fact, it was the year before that Oprah Winfrey had ran a marathon, and I thought, if Oprah can run a marathon, I can run a marathon. So I signed up. I didn't get near the training that I needed.
Well,
I mean, these people
didn't have the goo. Were you eating the goo?
I ate some goo, and you eat some of these gel things that they give you, et cetera. But, I mean, this is a high-performance athlete. 3 hours to run a marathon uphill? Think about that. That's 26.2 miles. For those of you who want to think about that geographically, that's like from running from the Arch in downtown St. Louis to Old Town St. Charles.
Huh. I just felt like running.
Think about that.
Yeah.
That is a long, long run.
Well, that's like, you know, and running is such a great thing. It's like the old story about mom. You know, his mom started running back in 2012. We haven't seen her since.
Well, we all would like to run away from the mailbox today because today is tax day, April 15th. One of the worst days of the year. Have you done your taxes yet?
Better.
Are you prepared for next year's taxes?
Better be.
What do you do if you haven't filled out your taxes for this year? We're going to get you all the answers, but first, listen to this. Hey, it is Hancock and Kelly. Welcome back to our show. We're sitting in for Mark Reardon. We'll be again here tomorrow during this time. We're going to take you all the way up through total information. But today is tax day throughout the country, April 15th.
Ooh.
No holidays, no extensions. Joining us on the KMOX guest line is Doug Miller. He's with Miller Prost. Mr. Miller, welcome to KMOX.
Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to be here on April 15th.
Oh, there's nothing pleasurable about April 15th for any of us. But let's get
it
this
is
out
because of because it's the end of the regular tax season for most CPAs so and accountants.
Yeah.
So
you guys, what do you all go out and go to Mexican restaurants and get drunk together tonight?
Well, the younger ones tend to drink a little bit more than the older ones, but it is a relief, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, so how about that one guy who's sitting out there right now who's just realizing that it's April 15th and he hasn't done his taxes? What should he do?
You know, there are a few of those, gentlemen, and it's not too late to get an extension, and that's a form 4868. They can go to irs.gov, and they can download one free and still get an extension. If they don't owe any state taxes, then by filing the federal extension, they're automatically extended for the state, both Missouri and Illinois. If they do owe, though, gentlemen, they're supposed to pay to avoid any further interest and penalty. But the thing that caught people years ago is if they owed, they just wouldn't file because they freaked out. And you need to file even if you owe, because if you don't do that, then you'll get hit with a failure to file penalty, and it's 5% per month.
Mm.
And it runs concurrent with failure to pay penalty. But basically, you can run into some pretty significant penalties if you just at least file and show them you owe, you will avoid that failure to file penalty, and then you'll work it out.
A lot of discussion about the taxes. We've gone through the tax reform vote in 2017. Those tax cuts took effect in tax year 2018.
Right.
A lot of discussion that some people weren't quite as enthused about the amount of tax refunds they got back this year.
Right.
What's the status out there?
Well, you know, interesting concept. The Trump administration wanted people to feel the effect of the tax law change right away, albeit small out of paychecks. So they adjusted the W-4 forms to give them more take-home, and albeit it's going to be different for everybody, right? But it wasn't measurable to like, wow, what a great increase. But when you add that up over 52 weeks, and you were hoping on a $2,000 refund, well, you know, it wasn't there because you got the increase as you go. Most of the taxes did go down, and everybody's varied. There'll be exceptions, but most everybody's did go down in one way, shape, or form. But the withholding mess made it such that they either didn't get a big refund, or in some cases, people owed for the first time. And, you know, it's like repairing a car a year ago, and you forgot you didn't get the bill, and now you get the bill.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just doesn't sit well with folks.
No doubt about it.
They forget.
So, obviously, it was lots of tension on the tax cut, and I think most of us probably did pay less taxes this year. It's a little hard for us to figure out. I just got mine back from the accountant, and I'm still trying to figure out percentages, et cetera. Just from your general handicapping of it, who did really well from the tax cut, and who probably just kind of stayed the same?
You know, I was reading. I kind of try and read every day, and H&R Block ran a statistical analysis, and they said that the lower end got cuts of 25%. Now, granted, gentlemen, their taxes are low, right? So the lower parts, people are filing with Block are paying less taxes, and they've got a cut. The people that own their own businesses are going to get big cuts because there's a new 20% deduction. And then people who are like doctors, lawyers, accountants, things of that nature, they did not get this break, so they're not going to see much of the break. Physicians didn't get it either. So there's a whole group of people that really didn't get much of a break, but business like manufacturers, distributors, those folks, they came out pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you could say, I think legitimately, that this really was a tax cut for small business in this country in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and small businesses made out really well on that, too. Not just big ones, small ones, too. So business owners, in general, are paying less tax by a pretty good margin.
So folks are sitting around out there. They've gone to the post office, or they're making their annual pilgrimage to the post office to drop sucker in the mail. And they maybe aren't real happy with the outcome in 2018. What are some things that people can do behaviorally in 2019 to sort of ease that pain?
That's a good point. I mean, this whole W-4 process, let's back up for a second. W-4 affects payroll withholding. But what we're finding is more and more people have investment income, more and more people have a side business, and they might be driving for Uber or, you know, Airbnb or whatever. You know, there's a lot of that going on, and that's not – nobody's withholding that because you're your own employer. Well, you still got to pay in. So if you're trying to pay in through your paycheck withholding, your employer doesn't know about all that. So you're going to have to – you're going to have to really get on top of that and project somehow your 2019 taxes as best you can. I'll put it this way. If things aren't going to change much from 18 and you owed, say, I'm just making up a number, $2,600, and you're paid every other week and you don't want to owe $2,600 next year, when you go to your W-4, there's a line where you can actually ask for more withholding. I think it's line four, one of the two. And you can ask your employer to withhold more money. And so if you got caught short, then go back and ask your employer. And this is assuming you don't want to make estimated payments, because you could do that. But that's cutting a check quarterly out of your own pocket, doing that type of thing. You still got to pay the money in somehow, guys. So one way or another, you got to figure it out.
We're visiting with Doug Miller. He's at Miller Prost CPA. And, you know, that's a really great point, Doug, about the number of people that are doing these side hustles now. And you mentioned Uber drivers. And, you know, you're taking that money in every week and nobody's taking any taxes. That's
none whatsoever.
That is a profound point.
And
I bet that affects
people
a lot.
Mutual funds now. They're getting dividends and interest on their mutual funds. Well, nobody's withholding on that. Social Security, even, there is a withholding mechanism if you want to call in, but, you know, we do a lot of tax returns there, guys. I hardly ever see anybody ask Social Security to withhold federal tax, which you can do, but most people don't do it. So one way or another, when you've got all this other income other than your paycheck, then somehow you got to get, because the rule is we're supposed to pay 90% as we go, or 110% of last year's tax to avoid penalties. So somehow you got to get a handle. So if you're having your return done by someone, check with them, your preparer. If not, kind of try and get up to speed and get a handle on 2019. Do a 2019 projection. You just got done doing your 18 tax, so it's probably fresh in your mind. And then look where you're. If you're short, then you're definitely going to want to either adjust your W-4 or you're going to want to make estimated payments four times a year.
So you made a great point about if you have somebody doing your taxes, and both John and I own businesses, so we have accountants like yourself who do that, and it's really helpful. One of the things the president talked about was simplifying the tax code. What would be the parameters that you would say to somebody, hey, you can go use one of these electronic software applications, or you need to go and get a real accountant?
You know, gentlemen, if you have your own business, as you just said it, chances are you could really take advantage of having someone. You can at least interview a tax accountant or CPA and see if the value is there. What can they do? I mean, the question should be, what can you do for me? What am I missing? What should I be doing? Should I be an S-Corp? Should I be an LLC? Why is that? Can I have a retirement plan? By the way, people can still do IRAs today if they meet the rules under the IRS code. So if they were covered under a retirement plan and their adjusted gross income is less than $63,000 if they're single or $101,000 if they're married, they can still do a fully deductible IRA today, April 15th. But after today, they can't. So they could still change their 2018 return today.
So he is Doug Miller with Miller Prost. Hey, if people want to find you, Doug, where do they go?
Go to millerprost.com or call us at 314-862-2070.
Nothing like talking to the accountant on tax day. Doug Miller, thanks so much for joining us here on Game of Wax.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Well, that was interesting. You know, not my favorite day, tax day, but it's a necessary one for all of us. Kevin Killeen, our good friend, reporter, reporter here, Kevin Killeen, was down at City Hall today, and he happened to run across our good friend Kim Gardner, the circuit attorney.
Oh, yeah. She's been spotted?
Yes.
And she talked to the media?
Well, she did. And we'll have some of that with Kevin Killeen right after this on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A little Counting Crows in the background. You're probably counting those pennies to give to Uncle Sam. It's tax day. Make sure you file them. It's Hancock and Kelly in for Mark Reardon. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. Joining us in studio is Kevin Killeen, our own KMOX reporter. Mr. Killeen, how are you today, pal?
Good. The sun is shining and it's not raining.
Now, you have been busy over at the circuit attorney's office. Of course, she's under a perjury investigation. Well, bring us up to date on exactly what's going on with Kim Gardner.
Well, we caught up with her today in a hallway interview to ask her some questions. But first, a little background. Remember the Eric Greitens case ended where the case was dropped, but then Greitens' lawyers filed a police complaint saying that a member of Kim Gardner's team committed perjury during a deposition, lied under oath, and that launched a months-long investigation by the city police, which since about Christmas time has been the subject of a grand jury proceeding across the street. The latest flare-up, for the past 7 weeks, Kim Gardner has been fighting a search warrant to turn over 6 months of her emails, and she's headed into court tomorrow morning on that. But amid all this, the alderman, before we get to Kim, the alderman, Alderman Tom Oldenburg, at the forefront are beginning to ask, what's all this going to cost the taxpayer?
I fear the outcome's going to be pretty damn expensive.
Have you heard any numbers kicked around?
I'm not. But D.C. lawyers, come on, they're at least $600, $700, $800
an hour. Who's paying the bill?
The taxpayers are ultimately paying this bill.
So how can that be? So she's under investigation. There's been an order to come in and examine the contents of her computer. She's fighting that. A lot of speculation that she's fighting it to try and run out the statute of limitations. But at some point, she may or may not end up having to turn over her emails and her computer. And is it accurate to say that we do not know who's paying for these lawyers, or do we know that it's the taxpayers? We just don't know how much.
We just don't know how much. These are attorneys that they aren't her in-house attorneys. Right. And somebody said, hey, they've got attorneys on every floor over there at the circuit attorney's office. Why is she hiring two lawyers from Washington, D.C. and another lawyer from Kansas City to defend her?
Does the office not have a budget? I mean, isn't there a budget that the office has to live under, or can they just spend money and worry about it later?
Well, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but she is, we've learned, going to ask for $80,000 in taxpayer money later this week to be shifted from her regular crime-fighting budget over to pay her legal bill.
For herself?
For her office, you could
right.
say.
Okay, so you caught up with Kim Gardner today.
Yeah, she rarely goes out in public. I mean, to get a hold of her since the Eric Greitens days is rare, but she was at the Board of Aldermen to say farewell to retiring Alderman Terry Kennedy, and we caught up with her as she was walking out in the hallway.
Circuit attorney, how are you today?
Whenever you're ready.
Some of the aldermen are beginning to ask questions about the cost for the out-of-town lawyers you're hiring, two from D.C., one from Kansas City. Anything you can say about that to justify that?
Right now I'm here just celebrating the new start of the session. And Mr.
But come on, people don't get a chance to talk to you very often. And they want to know, what's the running tab for this whole thing? Can you give us some reassurance that it's being handled responsibly?
Like I said, right now I'm here celebrating the aldermanic session and Alderman Kennedy.
And can you say, just to reassure people, that you've done nothing wrong and that there's been no perjury? What do you say about the ongoing perjury case? When would you like to see it wrap up? Circuit Attorney Gardner? Do have anything to say? I mean, it doesn't look good when you walk away. Just throw people a little bit of indication of your heart. What's on your heart with this whole thing?
Well, you can set up an appointment with Susan Ryan, my public information person, who can set that appointment up for us to talk.
But it's our understanding that you're under a gag order. You can't even talk about the case, right? That's what Susan Ryan always says. But we just want to say, because this is a matter that's before the Board of Aldermen, they want to know, have you filed a bill with the registrar for the contract you have with your out-of-town attorneys?
Like I said, I'm just here at the automatic board.
Come on. I mean, right, you're now the circuit attorney. Can't you just give us a statement? Is this thing by the book? These lawyers from Washington, D.C. and Kansas City, the taxpayers have to pay for them. Is there anything you can say to just justify them? Kim Gardner?
And she walked away.
Wow. I mean,
that's an outrage. And what kind of PR? It's an outrage.
Yeah, and what kind of PR strategy is that? I mean, why wouldn't you answer the questions? I mean, Kevin, how many times have you seen Kim Gardner in public since the Eric Greitens case?
Very seldom. But in fairness to her, she's under a gag order. So if she had said, look, there's so much I want to tell you, but I'm under a gag order, I would have said, can we just nibble around the edges? For instance, I would think the gag order covers the case, the evidence in the perjury case. However, it's a reach to say it covers her explanation of why she's using taxpayer money for these lawyers.
It's our money. I mean, here's the thing. You know, we had the caller in the last segment about the, you know, the money he's paying in the city earnings tax and all the money that all of us pay into the city. It's going to pay for this stuff. And this is an elected official, elected by the public, who should be accountable and responsive to the public. This is an outrage to me that somebody in holding elective office whose salary is paid by taxpayers will not answer basic fundamental questions about their duty. This kind of stuff. You know, I don't get angry very often. This kind of stuff makes me absolutely furious. And good for you, Kevin, for chasing her down.
So you've tried to get Susan Ryan to set up interviews with Kim Gardner. What usually happens when you call Susan Gardner? Now, is Susan Ryan in her office? No, she's an outside consultant as well,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she's an outside. And, you know, we'll say, hey, we'd like to talk to her about this or that with the case. And the theme always is that Susan gives a statement. Kim doesn't give interviews. And, you know, you can respect that because I don't think Kim Gardner took the job really prepared for the dance that is talking to the media and thinking on your feet. She likes to carefully craft her positions. And, you know, some people just aren't prepared for that. But I think, like you said, you know, a public official should have the ability just to speak from their heart and say, all right, I'm working for the taxpayers. Here's my argument for this. I can't talk about certain things, but to answer your question about the lawyers and why that's appropriate, and maybe she has some great reasons.
This speaks to the type of politician we're electing these days. And look, I ran a campaign against Kim Gardner. She beat us. But Kim Gardner didn't run the campaign. She didn't run the campaign, John. Yeah. It was all outside interest that came in through a third-party PAC that ran the entire campaign for Kim Gardner. I don't understand this concept of politicians who get elected who don't want to deal with the media, don't want to answer questions. I'm sure Kim Gardner has very legitimate explanations as to why she's behaved in the manner and the way that her office is doing it. Why not come forward and answer them?
You know, if you're Joe Schmo out there, you know, going with a lunch pail to work every day and some reporter sticks a microphone in your face, that's one thing. I mean, you know, you've got no obligation to talk to a member of the press about whatever. But when you run for office and put your and ask people to vote for you, ask people to make an affirmative choice to send you to a taxpayer-funded job, probably the best job you've ever had in your life in this case, and you refuse to answer basic questions from people whose job it is to inform the public, that is outrageous. It is outrageous behavior. I'm almost at a loss for words here. Kevin, where do we go next on this thing? There's a hearing tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow morning. Remember last week, the judge said, well, the Supreme Court has said you have to turn over your emails. How about it? And Kim Gardner's lawyers said, no, we can't hand over all 6 months of them because some of them are protected by attorney-client privilege. And Judge Mullen was flabbergasted. He says, I can't force your hand here, but you and the other side need to come up with something over the weekend and work something out and tell me on Tuesday morning how we're going to solve this. There's a great deal of suspense, all legal eyes across Missouri on this, because Kim Gardner is essentially defying the Missouri Supreme Court, which upheld the search warrant, and she's saying no. She's overruling the Supreme Court.
And does the Supreme Court have the authorization or ability to remove her should she choose to be defiant of them? Or how does one deal with removing a circuit attorney if she defies the court?
Well, I don't know if it will come to that, but she does face contempt of court from the local judge. She could face some sort of disbarment complaint against the through the Missouri bar. She's already under investigation for that in Jefferson City for several months, arising from this perjury complaint on her team. But that process, we understand, is on hold, and they are working with the St. Louis City perjury investigation to find out what evidence there is.
Yeah, good stuff, Kevin. Thank you for this. You know, John, you have to wonder, if you're one of these people who's caught up in the circuit courts here in the city of St. Louis, and you have a prosecutor who won't share what's going on inside their own case, I'm one of those people that if they were prosecuting me, I'd want to know, well, what else is it that I need to know here? Is the deck stacked against me? Are you playing by all the rules?
Well, I guarantee you, a prosecutor won't countenance that kind of a behavior from a defendant. In their,
of course not.
That we're trying to be, you know, exposed to. I mean, this is ridiculous. Well, we've got to step aside, and I got my blood pressure up now. I got to go get some water and kind of calm down. Total Information PM begins in just a little bit. Kevin Killeen, thanks so much. Here on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Hey, it's Hancock and Kelly in for Mark Reardon. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. And, John, April 15th, I guess you're going to scurry out here and throw those little taxes into
already
the mailbox.
Done,
did you?
Already,
you already put them in there?
I already put them in.
I wait till the very last minute. I always think it's fun to drive down Market Street here because the post office folks stay outside and they'll grab them from you and people line up and stuff. I guess it's a part of being part of an event. What an event yesterday at Augusta National. Tiger Woods, obviously the sports story of the year. I don't care what else happens this year.
Is there any other sport that is so defined by one individual? I can't think of it.
No. I personally believe the greatest of all time is probably Jack Nicklaus. But no. This guy is going to he has revolutionized golf. It is a completely different sport. You know, one of the great things about Tiger Woods being back, if you're one of his competitors, is the money follows Tiger.
It does.
Real money came into golf 2 decades ago when Tiger Woods showed up, and now that's the reason these guys are playing for millions of dollars, and it's going to come back. And what a special day it was. Think about that. 15 majors. Now, Jack Nicklaus did 18 majors. I think he wound up in second place in just as many majors as he won. So Jack Nicklaus, just the benchmark, the hallmark of golf. But Tiger could do this, John. Three more majors, it can be done. And when you watch the way that Tiger played golf yesterday, I feel like I'm the Sports Open Line guy, but it was a different strategy than we're used to. We're used to Tiger taking chances and risks, and he was playing with a lead, and he stayed steady.
Yeah, he was rock steady all the way through. You know, for me, there were so many poignant moments, but if you were around 22 years ago when he won the Masters for the first time in 1997, there was that iconic hug of Tiger Woods with his father, Earl, and the tears that flowed. And it was yesterday, almost the bookend of that, was the iconic hug with Tiger and his mother and his two children. It really came full circle, and that's going to be the focus of our cut of the day.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
And the audio cut of the day, Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus, and it's sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Pain relief and comfort to fit any budget.
Surreal. You know, I did the same thing to my dad, and now I'm the dad with my son doing the same thing. So it's amazing how life evolves. It changes. That was 22 years ago when my dad was there. And then now my son's there. My daughter was there. My mom's there. My mom was there 22 years ago. And the fact that she's still around, still kicking, still fighting, goes to show you her resiliency. It's just, it's hard to comprehend right now. I mean, honestly, I've just only been a few hours out of winning the tournament. I'm still trying to enjoy it and trying to figure out that I want it. I know I have the green jacket on, but it's just, it's still, I think it's going to take a little bit of time for it to sink in.
There wasn't any question in my mind after seeing Molinari hit the ball in the water at at 12, and Tiger put it on the green. I said, tournament's over. And I said, you know, it didn't make any difference what anybody else is going to do. Somebody else is going to make enough mistakes, but Tiger won't make any, and he didn't. He played every shot I saw him play was a smart shot. And when you got a guy who plays smart shots like that and plays them well and knows what he's doing and plays them with confidence, he should be your winner. I don't ever pull against anybody. I mean, nobody wants their record to be broken. But I certainly wouldn't want Tiger to be hurt and not be able to do it. Of course, he's pretty healthy and he's played well, and I wish him well. The next two majors are at Bethpage where he's won and at Pebble Beach where he's won. So he's got me shaking in my boots.
Yeah, that second voice, of course, was Jack Nicklaus, the Golden Bear, who watched the festivities from his boat. He was fishing yesterday, and he called into the Golf Channel. Obviously, a historic night that got attention throughout the world. I doubt there is a newspaper in this country, and for that matter, maybe in the world, that didn't feature Tiger Woods this morning.
Yeah, no doubt about that. You watched the match from your boat over the weekend.
Whatever. I was at my place down there in Florida and did that. But, boy, I think tomorrow's front page, John, is for sure going to be Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. This fire continues to rage in Paris. The flames are not shooting up over the top of the building, but you can still see the orange hue coming from inside the building and reflecting off the night sky.
Yeah, you just think about it. It's got to be one of the largest tourist attractions of any place in the world. Plus the fact that, I mean, it is a religiously significant structure. It's really, really a sad day. Sad day for the Catholic Church, sad day for the Christian faith, sad day for the people of France, sad day for the world, really.
Well, we've got so much for you coming up on Total Information. Make sure you come back tomorrow from 2 to 5. Hancock and Kelly will be back in here with Mark Reardon.
Yeah, Mark will be back on Wednesday. Michael Kelly, John Hancock, Total Information PM continues right now on the Voice of St. Louis News Radio 1120 KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.